So as you just heard, my name is Andre. I've been involved here at St. Philip's since about 2017 and been involved on the leadership team for about 18 months. Although I must say, I realised the other day I've been serving on what's called a PCC for 3 years now, which really surprised me. I couldn't believe I'd been on it for that long. And for those of you who don't know what a PCC meeting is, just think Jedi Council meeting, but much, much more interesting. For those of you who have served on the PCC, I'm sure you'll dispel that myth in the comment as I speak. But I've been involved in St. Philip's and serve in various different ways. And it's great to be here speaking to you today. And so for the last few weeks and months, really, we've been looking at this series called Tools for Discipleship. And more specifically, in the past few weeks, been looking at this APEST, this fivefold ministry, these gifts and these roles God gives the church to support each other and build up his church. And today, as Gareth mentioned, we're going to be looking at the role and function of a prophet. So looking at this idea of prophecy, what does it mean? Who can do it? Is it only for a select few? How does it work? And all those questions. And I realize when I say prophecy, some of you may know what I mean. Some of you may have an idea. Some of you may have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm going to give a more precise definition in a minute, but you probably have heard people stand here in this very church, you know, on this very spot maybe, and say, I have a word, I think I have a word from God, or I think I have a picture from God. Or they may say something like, I feel like someone in here may have a bad shoulder, and God wants to pray for that person and possibly even bring healing. And that's kind of what we're talking about when we're talking about prophecy. God is speaking to us, and it may, it's a word of knowledge. It's information, it's knowledge that we wouldn't know by ourselves. So it's not like we've checked out the social media status. It's not like we've heard someone talking about them a few weeks ago. It's knowledge which is given from God, spoken to us, communicated for those in the room or for an individual. Now, I want to ask you, when that happens, and it happens quite a lot in this church, when someone stands here or wherever and says, I have a word, I have a picture, I feel like God is talking to me, how does that make you feel? Do you feel excited? Do you feel a bit anxious, a bit fearful? Because I'm very aware many of us in here have reactions to it, even strong reactions to the word prophecy, the idea of prophecy. And I know that because I've spoken to quite a lot of people in this church about prophecy. Some of us are really up for it and maybe moving this gift in a lot. Some of us are really fearful, really anxious. Some of us maybe have even had some negative experiences of it. So I just want to share three quick stories about prophecy. And there was someone I know, a good friend of mine, who was at a church weekend away. So they were away somewhere as a church, and they were praying in the main hall. And he went away to his room, and for some reason, to get his phone or whatever it was. And outside his window, when he was in his room, he saw a squirrel. And he felt like God said to that person, I want you to go back into the main hall, and whoever's being prayed for, I want you to tell them they're like a squirrel. So he thought, oh, that's a bit odd. But he went back into the main hall, and this woman was being prayed for, and everyone finished kind of when he walked in. And he said to her, I feel like God wants to tell me you're like a squirrel. Everyone who was praying for that woman burst out laughing. Now, I'm going to tell you the end to that story in a bit, but just in that moment, how do you feel? Are you excited, thinking, oh, what's God going to say? Are you thinking, what is going on? This is so weird. Or are you just sitting there clenched, thinking, what is this? What is going on? What is God doing? I will tell you the end of that story, but just to share another story. Someone I know, she was a Christian, and she shared a house with some non-Christian friends. And she was praying. She was going to bed one evening, and she was praying to God. And during her prayers, she felt like God say, I want you to go next door into your friend's room, your housemate's room, who's not a Christian, and tell her God wants to stroke her hair as she falls asleep. This woman said to God, if I do that, she's going to think I'm a psychopath. You want me to go into a room and say, God wants me to tell you he's going to stroke your hair as you fall asleep. Anyway, she was obedient, so she got up, knocked on her housemate's door. To her disappointment, she was still awake, and she went in and shared this. Again, how are you feeling? Excited, positive about this story, negative, bit scared? Finally, one more cliffhanger. I had a picture for someone once in a church I used to be attending, and I went up to this girl who was my friend, and I said to her, "I have a picture of someone parachuting out of a plane." And I kind of explained to her what I thought God was trying to say. And again, she looked at me. Well, she paused for a few seconds, looked at me, and then responded. "Again, how are you feeling? Excited? Nervous?" Because even as I share these stories, our reaction to it reveals a lot. Some of us are feeling very uncomfortable. Some of us excited. Some of you have already opened up Instagram. Andre, you've lost me. This is just getting weird already. This is just the introduction. And I know, because I've spoken to people in this church about prophecy, some of us have felt hurt, bad experience that have happened elsewhere. Maybe we've shared something once and we've had an aggressive response. Or maybe someone has said something to us and it's confused us and upset us. And some of us watching this are thinking, this is what all Christians should be doing. We should be prophesying all day, every day. Andre, what's the big deal? And so I just start by saying, I realize all of us are in different places with this. I realize some of us have good experience, bad experiences, excited, feel uncomfortable. But together, with no assumptions, not assuming you've done this before, not assuming you've never done it, how can we look at what the Bible says? How can we allow what the Bible says to impact us when we talk about the role and function of a prophet? And how can we understand it better so that we can all participate in this gift God gives us? If we want to. It's an invitation. It will never be forced. So I'm going to look at some Bible verses together today. We're going to unpick a few things. There's quite a lot to go through, so if it's helpful, I can send you the PowerPoint so you can go through them in detail in your own time. You can rewatch this talk. You can write them down as I talk now. Really encourage you to, you know, look up all the Bible verses I share later on. But today really is the theory. Today is the theory. We're going to be looking at what does the Bible say about prophecy? What is it? What isn't it? And then during the week, there's going to be an invitation to do the practical stuff, I guess, to respond practically, mainly on Monday night prayer. So tomorrow evening, I'm going to be leading a prayer and prophecy night where whether we've prophesied before or never done it, we can come and give it a go. Also, a lot of connect groups are going to be doing it this week. So there is going to be a chance to respond and kind of put what I'm saying into action. But today is kind of the theory, really looking at what is prophecy, how does God speak to us, and why does God speak to us? So what is prophecy? How does God speak to us? And why does he speak to us? So here we go. The role and function of a prophet, looking at the gift of prophecy. So the definition I'm kind of using, I have in my mind, and I want you to have in your mind as I talk, is this. It is God, by his Holy Spirit, speaking to us and using us to apply the truth revealed in Jesus and his word to specific people and situations. Now, some people might use a slightly different definition. Some people might say, well, can we get pictures for ourselves? Is that prayer? Is that prophecy? In context of this series, you know, using the gifts to support each other and build up God's church, I think this is a biblical one. I think it's a helpful one, particularly for this series. It is God, by his Holy Spirit, speaking to us and using us to apply the truth revealed in Jesus and his word to specific people and situations. So why do I say that? So going back to that squirrel story. So the guy, he walked into the main hall, he said to this woman, I think God wants to tell me you're like a squirrel. Everyone started laughing. When he said that, he felt like God gave him a bit more information, a bit more knowledge. And he said, just like a squirrel goes around and gathers food and holds on to it, like they collect their nuts, they collect their food, and they cling on to it, you are clinging on to negative things that have happened to you in your life. You are clinging on to trauma. And God wants to say to you that he wants to help you through it. He wants you to share the burden with him, share the burden with others. He doesn't want you to cling on to these things like a squirrel. Now, the reason everyone else started laughing is because someone else, you know, when that person wasn't in the main hall, when he was in his room, someone else got the exact same picture for that woman. She got the exact same thing told to her two times in the space of a few minutes. What is the truth there? The truth is God loves us. The truth is God does not want us to suffer alone. And that biblical truth revealed in Scripture was applied and made personal and tangible to that woman by God. The truth is God loves us. God wants to support us through the mess. And that was made personal, tangible, and revealed to that person in that moment. The other story, that woman who said, God wants to stroke your hair to a housemate. God wants to stroke your hair as you fall asleep. That woman, non-Christian, had been struggling with what's called alopecia. She'd been losing her hair for years and years. And none of her friends knew about it. And she was kind of at the end of her tether. The doctors couldn't help. And she said, even though she wasn't a Christian, she prayed that night and said, God, if you're real, I need to know you care and you see this massive thing that is going on in my life. Her housemate knocks on the door 10 minutes later and said, God wants to stroke your hair as you fall asleep. God loves us. God sees us. We know this because Scripture tells us this. Yet in that moment, it was applied specifically and tangibly and personally to that person in her life. So I'm going to explain why I kind of go with that definition. But that's the definition I'm using. Like I say, some of us might add a different nuance or say it slightly differently, but I think that's helpful. And the reason why I think this is helpful is for a few reasons, and specifically looking at what prophecy isn't. So what prophecy is not? So what does the Bible say? Well, Bible says prophecy is not extra/new revelation superseding the Bible. The prophecy and these words of knowledge we get from the Spirit do not replace what we see in Scripture. Why do I say that? Well, 1 Corinthians 12 says this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Holy Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, to the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So what this passage is saying is what the Spirit gives us, this prophecy, this words of knowledge, is not going to contradict what we see in Scripture. You can't prophesy and say Jesus is cursed. You can't prophesy and say Jesus is not Lord. You know, there's someone else who's going to come and save us from our sins. Prophecy aligns with what we see in Scripture. And you get this a lot, not just in this passage. For example, 1 Corinthians 14:29 and 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21 talk about weighing up prophecy carefully. You know, the Bible authors never say that about Scripture. You know, this is Scripture. There may be bits we find uncomfortable. There's, you know, things we wrestle with, but this is Scripture. Whereas prophecy, we need to weigh it up. Is it from God? Have we heard wrong? And so it's clear that that Bible comes first, and prophecy will not contradict that. The prophecy does not supersede it in any way. And this is really important. And I remember a bit of a silly story, but I remember hearing the story of a woman who was in a job interview. It was for a church, so the vicar was kind of interviewing her. And she was being quite blasé and flaky with her answers. And the vicar's, you know, halfway through, the vicar's like, it's a bit weird. And she said, oh, don't worry. God told me that I'm going to get this job. And he said to her, well, God hasn't told me that, so maybe we should continue with the interview. And I do see this a bit in church, that sometimes we can think, well, God's told me this, or I think God told me this, and nothing else matters. If the Bible seems to contradict it, if my friends are weighing up the wisdom and kind of helping me to think through this, it doesn't matter because I think God's told me. You know, the Bible makes it clear, Scripture comes first, and so all prophecy is weighed against that. Nothing will contradict the true founding Jesus, the glory of God. Just to round that point home very quickly, Colossians 2:2-3 says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's not to say the Holy Spirit isn't with us as we read Scripture. Of course he is, and he is obviously communicating with us through the gift of prophecy, but the Bible comes first. Prophecy does not supersede it. I think that's an important place to start. Okay, secondly, the Bible seems to show that prophecy is not about predicting the future. That's why I say it's about applying God's truths to specific situations. It may sometimes involve a future element, it may sometimes be talking about the future, but I do think as Christians we need to realize it's not primarily about that. It's about applying God's truths to situations, like in that squirrel story, like in that hair story. And in fact, the Bible makes it very clear he forbids the use of mediums and spiritualists and people who think that they can predict the future. Leviticus 19:31, 26, Deuteronomy 18:10-12, all say, do not go to mediums, do not go to spiritualists. God forbids that practice. And I remember a few years ago when I was in a really hard place and someone gave me a prophecy that I was in a room and there were kind of like steel bars on the window and I was trying to shake them free. And there was a lot going on in my life. I felt like a lot of opportunities were passing me by. And this person said, you feel like the bars are stopping you from getting out, but actually the bars are there to protect you. And God wants to tell you that he's preparing you for something different. So all of these missed opportunities, all of these closed doors, is actually God protecting you and preparing you for something different. Now, in that prophecy, he wasn't telling me the future. He wasn't telling me what job I should take or where I should end up, etc., etc. It was just reminding me that God is in the situation, that God cares and God sees it, God hears my prayers, and God is in the struggle. And so this is what I mean. It's not about the future. It may involve that, but really it's about applying God's love and the truth of Scripture to specific situations. Okay, so the next one. It's not about me and my message. Deuteronomy 18:17 says, God says, I will put my words in his mouth, in the mouth of the prophet. The message is about God and God's focus. It isn't about our skill or our holiness or how sensitive we are to hearing from God. It's about God and his message. That's the next one. It's not an exact silence. It's not exact silence. It's not an exact science. Going back to that story I said about the parachutes, I went to my friend, had this picture of someone parachuting. I shared what I thought it meant, and she paused for 10 seconds, and she looked at me and said, no, Andre, you're wrong. I don't think that's for me. Doesn't mean anything. And that's okay. And for the next, like, we're in the same church for the next 18 months, whenever prayer or prophecy was going on, she would go out of her way to come up to me and say, Andre, remember that parachute picture? You were totally wrong, weren't you? And, you know, it's okay. We were friends. You know the prayer, God make me humble, but not that humble. But it was okay. And when it comes to prophecy, it's not like Scripture. It's not like we've got everything, you know, bound in a book. Sometimes we hear wrong. Sometimes we may get something slightly wrong or an element of truth. And so it's not an exact science. And we get it wrong, like that story illustrates. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, for now we prophesy in part, and in the future we'll know fully. You know, prophecy isn't an exact science, and it's never the full picture. And actually, when I lead on prophecy like days or teaching or help supporting people in this gift of prophesying together, the main question I get is, but Andre, how do you know? How do you know that picture is from God and not, you know, your own thoughts? How do you know that feeling is from God and not your own? The truth is you don't. That's why humility is needed. You know, people can get it wrong. And I'll go through this a bit more, you know, tomorrow night in the practical applications. But it's not an exact science, and that's okay. Next one. Prophecy is not for a select few in the New Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, you could kind of make this argument. There's a story in Numbers 11 where kind of Moses is the only one who's prophesying among the people of God. And then it says God lifts up his spirit and gives it to other people and they prophesy for a bit. So in the Old Testament, it does seem to be that the Holy Spirit rests on one or a few people and they prophesy. It's only a few people at a time. But in the New Testament, everything changes. Because of Jesus and because of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is sent. And it says this in Acts 2, starting from verse 16. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what enables this gift. It is not just for a select few in the New Testament. And finally, it's not a reward. Prophecy is not for a few holy people. It's not for people who get up extra early to pray and read their Bibles. It's not for people, you know, who are just really, really good to the core. It's a gift. It's not a reward. You know, our whole series is based on this passage in Ephesians 4. So Christ gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor. Christ gave. Christ enables. It's not our skill. And this is really important. And I remember leading a prophecy at night, and there was someone who'd only been a Christian for a few weeks who came along, and she was getting involved in prophesying for people. And at the end of the night, she'd written a note to her friend. And she basically wrote down this picture she had for someone who was being prayed for. But she said in a note to a friend, I can't possibly share this. You know, I'm new to this. How can I possibly be used by God in this way? Or words to that effect. And it was a real shame because at another point in the evening, someone else had got the exact same picture for the person who was being prayed for. So I knew it was from God, you know, two people independently getting the same picture. Yet she had disqualified herself because she thought she wasn't holy enough or whatever. Other end of the spectrum, I have a mate who's been a Christian for 40 plus years, always involved in charismatic churches. So prophecy is kind of the main focus, or one of the main focuses of the service. So it happens a lot. He's been surrounded by it for, you know, 40 plus years. And he says he personally has only ever really got two, maybe three words from God for someone. And so you get someone there, been Christian 40 years, and God has only given him this gift two or three times. And that's okay, because it's not based on holiness. It's not something we earn. It's not a reward. It's a gift. Some people get it a lot. Some people get it rarely. And that's fine. And the whole point of this series is maybe seeing where we are weighted in terms of evangelist, prophet, etc., etc. It's a gift. So, and that last slide lists all those things. Prophecy is not extra new revelation superseding the Bible. It's not about predicting the future. This isn't tarot cards. It isn't reading tea leaves. This is something different. It's not about me and my message. It's not an exact science. It's not for a select few, and it's not a reward. It is God, by his Holy Spirit, speaking to us and using us to apply the truth revealed in Jesus and his word to specific people and situations. And so before we go on to the next bit, just really quickly as a word of encouragement, maybe slight challenge, for those of us who would say we are prophets, we use prophecy a lot, I guess my slight encouragement would be, are we seeking scripture as much? Because scripture makes it clear, scripture comes and is more important than prophecy. So yes, we can seek the gift of prophecy, but are we seeking scripture as much? And also, which is a trap I've fallen into, do we pursue the gift over the gift giver? You know, the whole point of prophecy is to bring us into deeper relationship with God. But are we seeking the gift over the person who gives the gift in the first place? And for those of us who are maybe on the other end of the scale, a bit hesitant, a bit fearful, this is the first time you've maybe thought about it or thought about it for a while, this is not a reward. It's not for a select few. It's not for some holy people. We need to hear that. And it's not about the future. This isn't like, you know, reading tea leaves. This is something different. This is about the Holy Spirit. Okay, so going for this next section, which will be slightly quicker. How does God speak? So it's all very well saying, Andre, so prophecy is about applying God's truth to specific situations, making it tangible. That's great. It's knowledge that we wouldn't otherwise know. So it's from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. Okay, I get all that. But how? You know, what does it look like? What does it look like when you're talking about prophecy? And this is an exhaustive list, but these are, I think, the most relevant ones for this series and this context. So firstly, God can speak through an audible supernatural voice. Although I quickly want to say that this is extremely rare, extremely, extremely rare in my experience. And I know someone who was walking down, they were a teacher, so walking down an empty corridor, and they heard someone say Birmingham or shout Birmingham. He turned around, no one there, no one in the empty classroom, so he wondered what was all this about. He went home to his wife, and before he had a chance to share the story, his wife said, oh, someone phoned me up today and offered me a job in Birmingham. Do you think we should move? His answer was obviously yes. So God has spoken to him in an audible supernatural voice and applied the truth that he's in people's lives, he has a plan for them, and he was able to share that with his wife. But again, this is extremely rare, extremely rare. And most of the time when people say, I feel like God's saying, they are not thinking, I've literally heard him. They're using one of these other means. And the next one, through visions and pictures. This is the main one. I think in my personal experience, my experience of churches, often people say, I've got a picture or God is sharing something with me. And it's one we hear a lot in this church. So I won't spend too much time on that. But number three, through visions. Through dreams. Through dreams. You see this in the Bible, for example, in the Christmas story we were reading not too long ago. The wise men were warned in a dream not to return and tell Herod where Jesus was born. So God spoke to them through a dream and they went back via a different route. So God speaks to us through dreams. You see that a lot in scripture. Bible verses are on that slide. Also through visible things, so through situations. So in that story I shared earlier, my friend saw a squirrel through a window. He literally saw a squirrel. And in that moment, God used it to reveal knowledge and reveal message to him. So sometimes it can be just through seeing something or doing something, God speaks to us and gives us a bit of knowledge for someone else. Also through specific Bible verses. So someone might say, Andre, I really feel like God wants you to go read John 15 or whatever it is. And we don't really see an example of this in the Bible because, you know, the New Testament was being written as this was happening, so it all gets a bit complicated. But we do see this today, and I do think it's a continuation of what the Bible teaches about prophecy, that this is a method, this is a legit biblical method, that sometimes it can be a specific Bible verse someone wants to give to someone. And finally, it can be through feelings. So someone might say, in fact, I remember, again, I was like, helping to lead a prophecy day in a church, and someone got up and said, I feel like someone has pain, specifically in their right knee. I feel like someone or a few people have got pain in their knee. I feel like God wants to pray for healing. And three people came up for prayer that evening, and I know one of them got healed. I don't know about the rest. And so it may be a feeling like that. You know, it's not like the person got, you know, knee pain he couldn't handle, but he just felt something in his knee. And so he shared that. Or you may have heard someone say, I have a sense of peace, and I feel like God wants to give you peace or give us peace. So it may be through feelings as well. So all of these different things you can see on that final slide, you have these different ways. This is how God does it. So when they say God is speaking, usually not an audible voice, it's one of these things. And let me just say right now, if again you're feeling a bit uncomfortable, let me just say this isn't something God's force on us or makes us do. It's an invitation. You know, God's asking us to trust him, to maybe go deeper, to see if this is a gift he wants to give us, either we'll use a lot or maybe once or twice or whatever he decides. And it isn't about losing control. It's not like you're going to be rolling around shouting. It's not like you're going to be thinking, oh, is this image in my head, is it from me or is it from someone else? And like have a sense of, you know, lack of control. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. This is about God, you know, inviting us to speak to us in this way, to bless others. But that's kind of how it works. That's how it works. Okay, so very quickly to end with, why? Why does God speak to us? Especially if he has the Bible, if we have the Bible already. I mean, why does God even do this? And I guess just to say, and before we look at the detail, we have a God who is bigger, you know, who is bigger than time, bigger than history, but still sees the one, still goes after the lost sheep. And he is a relational God who loves us and wants a relationship by his Holy Spirit. So it's almost, why wouldn't he want to speak to us today? You know, why wouldn't this relational God who's desperate to have a relationship with the one, why wouldn't he speak to us through his Holy Spirit? And so as I said, it's about applying the truth we see in Scripture to specific situations, making it tangible. It's a gift. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but one I think is really helpful. And the first one, which I must say is the main one, it's for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You can see where I got it from. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Just a few weeks ago, me and my wife got a picture. We were kind of on, someone said to us, they saw us on a ski lift, and we were kind of going up this mountain, and we could see below us lots of people and lots of things that were going on. And they just said they felt like God was saying, you know, he's placed us in a position where we can see what's going on in people's lives and be able to support them and help them through different situations they're going through. And it was just a real encouragement. You know, it wasn't future telling. It wasn't anything being forced on us or anything like that. It was just an encouraging message that God has put us in the right place. And it really blessed us and was something we needed to hear in that moment. But secondly, what you see in Scripture, it is to confirm people's giftings. So I remember one of the first prophecy I ever got was that, you know, I was going to be a great teacher and preacher. And look at me now, still waiting. But you get it to confirm people's giftings. You know, we're very good at putting ourselves down, not seeing what we're good at. Some people have those personalities. But this is something God uses to confirm giftings in others. So that is why he speaks to us. Also to guide the church. So it's not always for individuals, it may be for a church or for something the church is working through. I know Gareth and Lizzie and the leadership team were really keen. We've been encouraging this, as you probably noticed over the last few weeks, to, if you have pictures, if you have words, especially for St. Philip's as a church, to put it on the comments, to email us. But sometimes God speaks to guide the church as a whole. Also in evangelism. So sometimes God speaks in evangelism to show people, to reveal God is real to others. And so you get this particularly in John 4, the woman at the well, that whole story ends with the woman basically saying, come and meet the man who's told me everything I've ever done. And so God is revealing knowledge and using it in a really evangelistic situation. But I remember once doing prophecy on the street. Yes, it is as terrifying as it sounds. You kind of go up to strangers and say, I'm a Christian, this is a bit weird, but I feel like God might have a word or message for you. And you know, there was three teenage lads who thought it was all a bit weird, but did let us pray for them. And I just got a prophecy about one of them whose father was really ill and he hadn't told anyone, he was really struggling with it and he didn't know who to talk to. And it really spoke to him. And you know, we could say in that moment, A, God did it just to bless him and show him he was real. But we could say, look, God is real. There's no way I could know this. We're complete strangers. And so sometimes God uses it in evangelistic situations. And finally, to warn people. So again, looking at that Christmas story, Joseph is warned in a dream to flee to Egypt and to escape the persecution that is about to happen. And so God uses it to warn people. Acts 11, there's an example, Acts 11:28, an example of someone predicting a famine. So God says these things to warn people. Although I want to say very quickly, for those of us who have moved in this or are hopefully going to move in it this week, you never ever tell someone about a birth, death or marriage. That is just something you never do. You never go up to someone individually and say, I think this is going to happen to you soon. Never predict a birth, death or marriage. If you get that word, speak to Gareth and Lizzie, myself, someone on the leadership team or whoever's appropriate in that context. But you never go up to the person. If you have problem remembering that rule, just remember, no hatches, matches or dispatches. So no births, no marriages, no deaths. No hatches, matches or dispatches. That's just a pastoral thing, a rule to work by. So again, that final slide, you can see it up there. This is why God speaks to us. This is why prophecy is used. And as I say, the main one is for our strengthening, encouragement and comfort. And just to emphasize, the motivation for this is love. It's not about people saying, you're doing something wrong, God judges you. This is about love. The motivation is love. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-3. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. Okay, so we've looked at a few different things. And like I say, this is kind of the theory bit. It's what the Bible says. And the next step will be giving it a go, essentially. Moving in this or moving in it again or seeing what God's doing. Is this a gift in maybe God wants to give us, either to use a lot or maybe to use once or twice or whatever he decides. As I say, the main response to this will be tomorrow. On our calendar, on our website, stphillips.org.uk. Monday evening starts at 7. I'm going to be leading a prayer and prophecy night. Please, please make that priority and please come along. Also, connect groups are going to be doing this. I know my one definitely is. If you're not in a connect group and can't make Monday, really encourage you to go along. You're always welcome at mine, which meets on a Thursday. Just email hello@stphillips.org.uk and make sure you get the Zoom link and all that. But it's all going to be online, obviously. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you can get the link on our calendar and in Connect Groups this week. And we're all just going to pray for each other and see if God has messages, pictures, words, etc., etc. And we're all guinea pigs. We're all guinea pigs. We're all allowed to get it wrong. And I'm going to talk through the practical stuff and how we wait on God and how we maybe discern what he's saying. But really encourage you to come. However, if you're not around for any of that or you still find this strange, just want to end by saying this or emphasizing this. It is God, by his Holy Spirit, speaking to us and using us to apply the truth revealed in Jesus and his word to specific people and situations. Just imagine if we as a church really lent into this. And it doesn't mean we need to, as an individual, be prophesying every day, but imagine if we as a church community were opening ourselves up to hear these messages from God, why wouldn't a God of love who is relational want to do this, give us this gift? And in all the stories I shared, people were blessed. People felt like they connected to God more, they knew more about God, they saw God in their situation. Imagine if we at least tried to make ourselves available to this gift and see what happens. So do encourage you to join us tomorrow. But just for now, just in silence, or you know, if you're family and young kids, it might be easier to just do this quickly in your head or discuss it. So I get all that. But let's just pause for a second. Bring all your emotions to God, maybe past experiences of this, good or bad, your thinking on this prophecy and how it works, everything you've heard today. Bring all your emotions to God. whether it's excitement, still a bit anxious, still a bit fearful, still a bit unsure, or really keen to see what God does. Just ask him now to use you to bless others. If that's through the gift of prophecy, great. If that's through something else, great. But let's just pause and say to God, use us in the weeks and months ahead to bless others. And if we can, say, God, if that is through the gift of prophecy, then so be it. So just take that moment now to pray.